your hometown newspaper of the air brings you What's Doing in Western Michigan. Doing in Western Michigan, a transcribed roundup of the news and views of the cities, towns, and countryside of Western Michigan. Your reporter, Willis Dunbar.
Good afternoon. The residents of Sturgis found out this week that June 28th is to be a date of an important city election. The Sturgis Journal reports that the City Commission has voted to hold an election on that date to decide two issues. By voting on the first proposal, the people will decide whether or not the city will issue bonds for $140,000 to cover the cost of four large storm sewers and a paving project, while the second proposal asks for the issuance of bonds for the construction of a new water well and the necessary equipment to go with it. The important item in the program is the fact that the bonds can be retired without any increase in taxes. The entire cost of the program would come out of the city's interest and sinking fund. South Haven businessmen evidently have heard about how Governor Williams arrived in Holland for the Tulip Festival just in time to roll up his sleeves and help scrub the streets. During the South Haven cleanup campaign last week, local merchants were recruited to do just the same as Governor Williams. The South Haven Daily Tribune reported on the cleanup drive and ran a five-column picture of the two merchants with brooms and buckets busy scrubbing the street. The Tribune also reported that a large amount of interest in the drive was shown by townspeople. A prize was given to the residents on which the best cleanup job was done. Tulip time in Holland is all over until next year, but the Holland Evening Sentinel still has a number of stories on the colorful event. One issue last week mentioned that many visitors believed that the celebration planners had misspelled the word welcome in the flower garden at Windmill Park. The Sentinel wanted outsiders to know that the spelling which was used, W-E-L-K-O-M, is the Dutch version of welcome. The Allegan Gazette reported last week that an Allegan girl, Miss Helen Mutchler, returned home to Allegan after 25 months in Ireland. Miss Mutchler won't be home long, though, as her next stop will be behind the Iron Curtain in Bucharest, Romania. One of the amusing things which she found in Ireland was that the Irish are of the opinion that most of the United States is populated with sons of Erin, and is therefore a kind of a second Ireland. That should rather amuse the people of southwestern Michigan with its large Dutch population. The Allegan Gazette also reported that Al Deal, who has been principal of the high school in Hopkins for the past 5 years, is resigning at the end of this school year to take a position as superintendent at Martin. In addition to being a very popular school administrator, Al Deal has been coach of the very successful basketball teams over at Hopkins, and the town will be sorry to see him go. The Ionia Sentinel Standard had good news to report to parents living in the village of Saranac. Voters in that school district last week voted to approve an $80,000 bond issue for the construction of a new school building. The election was held last Monday, and the proposal for the school was passed by an overwhelming margin. Construction on the new building will be started as soon as possible. The new school will be located only a block and a half from the Saranac High School building. The Saranac Superintendent of Schools, Roland Green, thanked the voters for their cooperation and stated that it would be possible to use the building for elementary classes as early as next November 1st. And the city of Greenville also was a step nearer to adequate school facilities. Three school proposals were passed by an overwhelming margin at a special election in Greenville Thursday. The first, to rescind the present 5-mill school tax, went over by a 647-176 margin, says the Greenville Daily News. Proposal number two, to float a bond issue for $285,000 for three elementary buildings, passed 634-190. And the third proposal, to raise the present millage, that is the ceiling, carried by a vote of 752-207. In Sturgis, the City Commission may find itself in the unusual position of turning down a proposed $100,000 gift to the city. It seems that the will of a local resident who died recently allotted $100,000 for the construction of a new chapel in Oaklawn Cemetery in Sturgis. The cemetery is owned by the city. However, after studying the proposed gift, the commission found that although the original gift was provided in the will, there was no provision for money which it would take to maintain the building. And the commission figured that it would take at least $4,000 a year to pay for the maintenance and the support for the chapel, and that the expense would be too great. The commission is expected to take action on the matter in the near future. Sturgis Journal reported that the revenue from the chapel would be very small and would hardly be enough to help pay for the maintenance cost. The Sturgis Commission is expected to take action on the matter, as we said, in the near future. Another article in the Journal pointed out that Sturgis does not have adequate hotel facilities at the present time. A special meeting of the Chamber of Commerce was called last week to activate a campaign to provide a better hotel for the city. Members of the Chamber voted to form a corporation to build a new hotel building. The committee chairman, Earl Palmer, said that they wouldn't even have to advertise the new hotel. The business is already assured for a new and modern establishment. And now, here's Harry Travis with some of the stories in the news.
The Galesburg Argus reported this week that the old fire bell, which had hung atop the city hall in Galesburg for 41 years, was finally removed. The bell had been installed way back in 1908 and was used as a fire signal for 10 years. The present siren system was installed in 1918, but the bell remained on top the city hall. One interesting fact, which was brought out by last week's removal, is that the bell cost only $1.50 when it was installed four decades ago. The weight is estimated to be about 600 pounds. Just imagine how much 600 pounds of iron alone would be worth today. The students in the Crow School near South Haven decided to have some fun on the last day of school a few days ago. Two little boys sneaked into the building early in the morning and glued thumbtacks to the teachers' chairs and desks at appropriate places. But their plans were foiled, and the South Haven Tribune reported that the two culprits were caught and punished. The school teacher got excited when the discovery was made, and before the thumbtack incident was over, Michigan State Police had been called in to investigate. A week ago, F.C. Curran of South Haven walked into the Tribune office and exhibited an unusual tulip, which had two red tulips growing from one stalk. The Tribune photographer snapped a picture of Mr. Curran and his unusual tulip and called it South Haven's Siamese tulip. The next day, Mrs. Wilreen Warren, also of South Haven, brought in a triple-decker, a stalk with three tulips on one stem. It looks as though Mr. Curran's discovery will just have to take a back seat to Miss Warren's three-way tulip. Now back to Dr. Dunbar.
Thank you, Harry Travis. The Galesburg Argus reminded school district voters to stop and check sometime this week to see if they're properly registered. The Argus pointed out the example of a prospective candidate for the Galesburg school post who was careful enough to check all of the signatures on his petition and found that 9 out of the 51 signers were not registered. These people didn't sign the petition with any intent to violate the law. They all believed that they were properly registered. Well, the moral of this story is that all citizens who think they're eligible to vote in a school election here in Michigan should take the time out to check their registration. The Galesburg election, by the way, will be held on the 13th of June to choose new school board members and to decide on school building plans. Well, the people of Athens are going to be celebrating on the night of June 3rd. After many months of campaigning and soliciting, enough money has been collected to finance the construction of a lighted athletic field for the village's use. Not only are the lights sufficient to cover a softball field for recreation use during the summer, but they also will provide a lighted football field for use this fall. A big dedication ceremony is going to be held on June 3rd, with practically the entire town on hand for the occasion. Campaigns of this sort seem to kindle a lot of neighborly spirit. The Athens Times reported last week that many of the contributions came from as far away as Union City, whose businessmen expressed considerable interest in the campaign. The Allegan Gazette reported that two members of the Roland Huff family are going to graduate from Allegan High School this spring, and that wouldn't be too unusual if it wasn't for the fact that one graduate will be 17-year-old Ben Huff, and the other, his mother, Mrs. Gladys Huff. In Vicksburg, school board officials are racing against time to prepare a ballot for the school election on June 13th. If all of the expenses and details can be worked out in time, the issue will go to the voters on that date. And if the proposal is approved, construction on a new elementary school would start in July. The school board and the townspeople who are interested in schools are keeping their fingers crossed, though, hoping that the red tape can be untangled in time. The Vicksburg Commercial stated last week that the board needs only to obtain two more options on property before the site of the proposed school is cleared. In Cedar Springs, the Chamber of Commerce has picked Dr. W.C. Brayman as the Citizen of the Year. The Cedar Springs Clipper related that Dr. Brayman has been outstanding in civic work ever since he came to Cedar Springs 47 years ago. A banquet to honor Dr. Brayman will be held on the 13th of June. Fire struck the high school in Coloma last week, doing damage estimated at between $2,000 and $4,000. In spite of the fire, the Coloma High School senior play and the commencement went off as scheduled, even though a few of the audience could probably still smell the smoke from the blaze. The damage will be repaired this summer while school is not in session. The Coloma Courier displayed a very large picture of the damaged area, but added the consoling fact that the loss is entirely covered by insurance. The Belding Banner News announced last week that the governor of Michigan, G. Menon Williams, will be the honor guest at the next Junior Chamber of Commerce banquet in Belding. The JCs figure on having a large attendance to hear the governor speak, and so the affair will be held in the high school auditorium. The capacity there is close to 400 people. In Nashville, the supporters of the recently defeated school proposition are still feeling rather disappointed over the results of the election. Last week's Nashville News analyzed the situation and offered an explanation of the school proposal's defeat. The argument seems to center around the fact that many Nashville taxpayers aren't too sure of the future financial security. Quite a few of them are out of work, and they're a bit leery about higher taxes. Well, it appears like D. Hale Brake, currently the Michigan State Treasurer, is going to be a candidate for governor in the 1950 election. The Stanton Clipper Herald stated that a group of friends of Mr. Brake have organized a Brake for Governor committee. Members of the committee are all from Montcalm County. That's Mr. Brake's home county, you know. The month of May is supposed to be one of warm temperatures, but frost damage in many areas has been reported within the past week. The South Haven Daily Tribune reported that strawberry crops in the Fruit Belt area suffered a large amount of damage. However, the Tribune went on to say that to all appearances, the frost was not severe enough to harm the sturdier fruit trees. The fishing season is here again, and the Charlotte Republican Tribune had a prize catch to report last week. A group of Charlotte men went fishing in the Agua River in Canada and came back with a 31-pound, 47-inch Great Northern Pike. Bob Munger was the lucky fisherman, landing the huge fish after an hour-long struggle. The Republican Tribune stated that it was the largest pike ever seen in Charlotte. The tax assessors in Sturgis have figured out that the town is worth almost $11 million, $10,850,000 to be exact. The Sturgis Journal said that this is an increase of almost $2 million over the town's valuation in 1948. And now, here is your announcer with late state news and a word about the weather. And that's what's doing in Western Michigan. Starting next Sunday, this program will be heard by transcription at a new time, 1 hour and 30 minutes later. That's 1 hour and 30 minutes later at 1:45 p.m. So listen in again at this new time next Sunday for your hometown newspaper of the air and what's doing in Western Michigan.